Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Classic, a shot. Knocked down in front, picked up by Crosby. Lobbed down the ice. And the Pittsburgh Penguins have won the Stanley Cup. They're mobbing Matt Murray. He keeled over from the attack. The extras that have been a part of the practices come leaping out onto the ice, enjoying all of the celebrating around the net.
The great Doc Emmerich with the call last night of the Penguins winning the Stanley Cup. There's a reason why when this journey began, we had a lot of Stanley Cup guests on to talk about it, from Tony DeFazio to Josh Getzlaf from the Pens Network to Kenny Albert. The reason was I had a gut feeling that they were going to do it. And I figure if you take it along the journey, he'd get there, because the Penguins in December were not a playoff team. But the last 3 months of the season, I'm talking the last 3 months, and I'm talking about March, April, and May. It's, you know, we're slightly into June, but March, April, and May, the Penguins were the best team in the NHL. And you could see it. And, you know, we have every game here on Root, just like most of you do. And you could see that they'd come together, and they were really good. And Sidney Crosby, by the way, justifiably, even though he didn't score a goal in the series, is the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, because he was obviously the best player on the ice every single time. And it's interesting, no goals and four assists in the six games, and he wins the Conn Smythe Trophy. Well, he deserved it. He was fabulous in the series. Great to have you with us. Draymond Green not playing tonight. He will watch the game at the Oakland Coliseum where the Rangers are playing the A's. He's not allowed to be in the building. He must leave the building 2 hours before the game tonight. So 7 o'clock Eastern time, he must be out of the building. If they win tonight, he is actually allowed back in the building for the victory celebration on the floor. And maybe to collect the Bill Russell trophy as the MVP of the series. How about that irony? Matt Leon's going to join us on the show today to talk about Philly sports and a little bit on tonight's game. And we'll get his perspective. Also, what has been an interesting journey for the Stanley Cup. We're going to have a little fun with that today. All the places it's been and some of the things that's happened to it over the years. They have this tradition now where for 100 days, a team gets the cup, you know, that wins it. So over 100 days, it can go all sorts of places. Sean Carey's ranch.
If that happens, you'll be the first to know, for
Sean,
sure.
Sean Carey's ocean villa.
How about that? So, yeah, you're on speed dial, and I'd have to get a hold of my barber as well. So
That'd be fine. Yeah. And the fact that it's not the BorgWarner trophy, the suit has no interest.
My barber actually was at the game last week where the Pens could have clinched. He threw down $1,200 for a pair, and he was up in the corner. He was in section 222 up in the corner. It was worth every penny, even though they lost it. I said the scene outside was just insane. I said, yeah, those pictures were amazing. He said, oh, I should have been there.
Yeah, we should have. Well, the parade is Wednesday, which works out fine. I mean, I won't be able to see the parade we're going to have, obviously, here. Our Oakmont features coming up. I think you'll enjoy that. The U.S. So I'm also going to take a little walk around the course at some point. I want to see if I, when I walk into the rough, whether I can still find my shoes. Phil Mickelson had a great quote in Jason Sobel's column on ESPN.com. And in Sobel's column, Mickelson says, look, there are some golf courses that are fun. There are some golf courses that are, let's see, what is it, fun? I can't think of the other one. The other one's hard. He said Oakmont is not fun. let's see where I find that quote. It's a really good quote. There's three categories, and he outlined the three categories beautifully as to what it happens to be. Let's see. We'll talk about Art Briles in a moment too. Have you seen that story? That's a very interesting development there with Art Briles. They're actually going to vote today on whether or not to keep the suspension at 1 year and bring him back. Now, I don't think it's going to happen, but we'll get to that in a few minutes, because I think that's, to me, that's a big one. And there's a lot surrounding it, too. A lot surrounding it. But where the heck is this Mickelson quote? This Mickelson quote was really good. And I had it earlier today, and that's on me for, there we go, I'll find it. There it is. I've got it. Beautiful pictures of the rough and so forth. Everybody loves the rough at Oakmont. Let's see.
Just watch out for the church pews tomorrow.
I am going to walk over to 3-4 just to go by and go through the church pews. Not to walk through them. I'm not going to do that.
Leave your print.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to do that. You know, it's like, hey, you know, it's like, look, that's my foot in there. And because, look, Bones McKay will rake it. Courses are either fun, great, or hard, Mickelson said. There's nothing fun about Oakmont. There's nothing great about Oakmont. But it's extremely hard. It's probably the hardest golf course I've ever played. Wow. Meanwhile, the Oakmont membership says, quote, we're the most sadistic folks you'll ever find. Thank you. They love the fact that their course causes problems. They love it. The fact that their course, I mean, they're very proud of that. I have covered the Open at Oakmont before. It is going to look great on TV. It's not going to look like the moon, like Chambers Bay. Oh, very nice. I'm parking in Lot O, O'Hara Elementary School. Love it. That's not bad. I'm not that far. I'm actually a shuttle bus away. I'm good tomorrow.
Nice.
Very nice. All right, good.
Yeah, you brought up Chambers Bay. I'm really interested to see how Fox will be doing their coverage. Because I think they were kind of, some of the TV critics are kind of treating them rather unfairly last year. I mean, they were giving it their best shot. It was their first year. You know, they're getting their feet wet in golf. So, I mean, granted, Greg Norman's not going to be part of the team this year, but...
Yeah, Paul Azinger's taking over that chair. Look, I watched the U.S. Senior Open last year, which was in Sacramento, a more traditional golf layout, and Fox did a nice job on it. This will be much easier for them second time around. The fact that it's a traditional layout makes it much easier for them to deal with. That part's going to be fine. That part is not going to be an issue in terms of how it looks. Chambers Bay was difficult because it just didn't look good on TV. So now, you know, and so now that doesn't look good. It doesn't look traditional. The fans are too far away. Here, you're going to be, you know, fans are going to be right on top of the doggone thing. And they are going to be at as traditional a golf course as you're going to find. 7,219 yards of pure fun. One of the par fives, they're going to split yardage. You know, one day it's going to be one length, like 630. But two of the days, it's going to be 667 yards. Par three, one of them is 282 yards. In 2007, it was 300 yards. Something tells me for the members, it's a little shorter than that. Something tells me there are a couple of members that sneak out and play off the red tees on that course. But that is coming up this week. And yeah, here's the fact sheet on the Open. 7,219 yards. Now, keep in mind, when they play Erin Hills next year in Wisconsin, which is a new course to the rotation, that's 7,800 yards. This year, it's 7,219. It's a par 70, so there's only two par 5s on the entire course. It's two par 5s and four par 3s. Now, the par 3s are 194 yards, 183, 231, and then the other one's the optional, either 262 or 288. Now, that one in 2007 was 300 yards. The option on the 12th hole is at 632 yards one day and 667 the other, which is a par 5. This is the 12th. Where's the other par 5? The other par 5's on the front, I think. 609 yards on the front. The 4th hole. The fourth hole includes the adjacent to the church views. So that is golf's national championship coming up tomorrow. Coming up, I should say, Thursday. My apologies. We will have our show Wednesday. How about that? I think that's. I think you'll get a pretty good feel for the players in the tournament at that point. How about that? So that is coming up tomorrow. Tonight, Draymond Green will watch from the Oakland Coliseum. Sean Carey's house had been an option. Green turned it down.
His loss.
I thought it was kind of rude. I thought it was rude. Bill Simmons begins his new show on HBO next week. And the back and forth with ESPN has been weird. I mean, have you read some of the comments about this?
He has got to let it go and move on.
Well, I mean, but ESPN's firing back now. They're not letting it go. And I found their comments also enlightening. I mean, look, Simmons made them a lot of money, and he made a lot of money from them. We know that. Simmons was making $5 million a year. I think he's going to get $7 million to go to HBO. He actually is going to make more money out of this. But when you look at the back and forth between them, you're absolutely, John, I completely agree with you. Let it go. I mean, it doesn't, what good does it do? Let it go. And I don't get where. I don't get where he's coming from. I mean, now both sides, I don't get where they're coming from on this. I just don't. And I found the entire exercise to be just really strange. And when I mean they've gone back and forth, they have gone back and forth. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Art Briles. Will they reverse his firing? Essentially, he has been suspended 1 year. My apologies, that's wrong. He's been suspended with the intent to terminate. So now, here's the story. Briles, you have a series of significant boosters that are pushing to keep him and pushing the Board of Regents to retain him. Several donors have said they will pull back all support if he is not returned to coaching in a year. USA Today says it's unlikely it's going to happen, but evidently there's going to be a vote today. Horns Digest, a publication of Texas football fans. And by the way, to their credit, Horn's Digest on the Baylor story has been out front during most of this. So let's give credit where credit's due. They reported today that Baylor's Board of Regents would vote tonight whether to bring Briles back, citing a source. Waco television station KWTX, citing sources, also wrote a vote was scheduled for today, reporting that a preliminary vote on the matter was very close. Baylor players have been informed of the plan to bring Art Briles back. That's according to KCEN-TV. Baylor, shockingly, did not return any phone calls. Bob Simpson, who happens to be one of the co-owners of the Texas Rangers, is a Baylor donor. And his name is on the Simpson Athletics and Academic Center on the campus. He says, he told the Dallas Morning News, "We don't know yet. We'd like to see that." Simpson's very close to Briles. And ESPN's Outside the Lines did contact all 30 members of the Baylor Board of Regents. Four refused to comment. The other 26 would not return calls or emails. Here's the difficulty in commenting on this. From the outside looking in and on the basic things that we know, there's no way he should be coaching, correct? But here's the problem. You and I, you the fan, me the host, Sean is the king. You are the king of all sports, I heard.
Nah, where you got that at?
Very modest. What facts do we know? Pepper Hamilton put out a 13-page report. Now, what's missing in the 13-page report, Sean? What's missing? Names. I can't tell you guilt from innocence or have an opinion on the possibility of guilt or innocence if you're not going to give me the names of the people that you allege are involved. There's nowhere in that report that says the head coach, but there's nowhere in that report that says Art Briles. It doesn't exist in the 13 pages they put out. Here's the next part. The full report is not coming out. They've already made that decision, and as a private school, they can do that. The area they're opened up to right now, which I'm going to guess as a Board of Regents they're more worried about than anything else, it would happen to be Clery Act violations, Title IX violations, and the Department of Education investigating. Because, you know, like, well, why? And the big problem with the Department of Education investigating is that they can withhold funds. And, of course, you and I both know, I know it's hard to believe, but money makes the world go round. Many a decision has been made in life with money as the motivation. I don't know who was interviewed in this. I'd like to know whether the athletic director was actually interviewed, was Art Briles actually interviewed, sounds like they were. That's one of the biggest differences between that investigation and the one that happened here, because those who were accused never could give answers or perspective. They weren't interviewed. So that when you can't give perspective or context, you can then lay it out one way. By giving context or perspective, now it gives at least... You now have to make a decision as to what you believe and what you don't believe. When there is none, then you're just left with that without any context or perspective. So did Art Briles, and it sounds like he did, give his perspective and content to the report? We don't know what's in that report other than the basics that were put out. X alleges that Y did this, Y was not suspended, Y continued to play. X then met with Z coach, and A, B, and C staff members, parents, but they don't name the names. So I don't know who's the problem. All right, we got to take a break. Bottom of the hour. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades. I don't care whether it's personal insurance, commercial, business insurance. They have it all. They're going to find you the best insurance for the right price. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, this day in sports history. Matt Leon, next half hour from KYW in Philadelphia. No show tomorrow, Phillies and Blue Jays afternoon game. Back on Wednesday from the U.S. Open at Oakmont. 1912, Christy Mathewson, 300th career win. And was really cool as the suit had him on his fantasy team. Oh, stop laughing. 1940. The Cubs and the Red Sox became the first teams to play a double-day field in Cooperstown. Very neat. 1948, the Yankees officially retired Babe Ruth's number 3, and they sent it to the Baseball Hall of Fame. In 1978, the Cleveland Barons, yes, there was a team, the Cleveland Barons, and the Minnesota North Stars merged as the Minnesota North Stars. Now, the genesis of the Cleveland Barons, you should note, happened to be the only other team to play in the Bay Area before San Jose, before the Sharks. And they were the Oakland Seals and then the California Golden Seals. And then they moved to Cleveland. They merged with the North Stars, who are now the Dallas Stars. Let's see. NBA title won by the Pistons this date, 1989, beat the Lakers. Look, the Pistons had to get past the Celtics. That was the big barrier for them. You go back to that year where Bird stole the inbounds pass in Game 5 and fed Dennis Johnson. They won the game miraculously. That was one of those, again, they couldn't get past the hurdle. They finally got past the hurdle of the Celtics. When they did, they won the NBA title. They beat the Lakers in 4 games. Then it became the Bulls, who had to then overcome the Pistons to finally break through and then win their championships. Pistons won in this state. By the way, our sports bozo of the day, speaking of the Bulls, deals. with Michael Jordan. It's not him being the bozo, but he is critical to the story. Do you know this story? Sean, the Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen story, are you familiar with it? Oh, it's really good. It's really good. We'll have that an hour from now. It's really good. Let's see. 1994 O.J. Simpson questioned by L.A. police concerning the death of Nicole Brown Simpson. Okay. Let's see. Also on this date, Cal Ripken. Now, listen to this one. Cal Ripken, 1996, ties Sachio Kinagusa's record of 2,215 consecutive games played. I'm going to freely admit to everyone, I feel like I know sports facts as well as many. I've never in my life heard of Sachio Kinagusa. I do know that the all-time home run leader in Japan is Sadahato Oh. That one I do know. Bulls won their fifth championship in 7 years, 1997. 2002, the Red Wings won their 10th Stanley Cup. After the game, Scotty Bowman, the great coach, announced his retirement. Also, Scotty Bowman, a critical part of the Steve Jones Senior Sports Broadcasting Project. I related that story last week. Merger, WHA, four teams into the NHL. I wanted to do my final project on the merger, so I covered a Buffalo Sabres-Hartford Whalers game. In the process, I got 15 minutes with Gordie Howe, I got 5 minutes with the Hall of Famer Dave Keon, and I got 5 minutes with Scotty Bowman.
And you got an A.
Oh, easy, man. I just had to just turn the recorder on.
Crushed it. Nice.
Once they started hearing, like, you got Gordie Howe, you got Mr. Hockey. Yes, matter of fact, they did. Now, you have to remember, I grew up just outside of Hartford. So when I was back on break, I got press passes and I went. I had to come up with the idea first. I was like, geez, how do I get Gordie Howe? How do we get Gordie Howe? I was talking to one of the media guys. They said, are you kidding me? I said, no, what do you mean? So I cover this team every day. I said, yeah. He says, he's the easiest guy in the world. I said, really? I thought to myself, this is really good. Look, the dude gave me 15 minutes. Mr. Hockey. Asked him about, everything about the merger, about the WHA, about coming back in, about his final year, about his sons, about the expanded NHL and what it's meant to the game, the pluses and minuses. He gave me everything. It's like another project had to be 15 minutes. I could have done 2 hours. And believe me, I'm sure there's a very good chance at the age of 21 that I asked a lot of really bad questions, and he made it seem like I asked questions as if I'd been working for 60 minutes for 10 years. Same thing. And by the way, the same thing with Dave Keon and the same thing with Scotty Bowman. Scotty Bowman was very nice to me when I did that project. Very nice. All right, that's this day in sports history. We went a little longer on that than we usually do, but that's fine. We have some time today. Phone lines open, 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Matt Leon, next half hour, U.S. Open coming up on Wednesday. Another boring week here at the Radio Ranch. We don't do anything here. Have you noticed that? We just kind of like mail it in and show up.
Who, us? No.
I don't think so.
I will give the NHL credit last night. I know they wanted to do the Gordie Howe tribute before the opening drop of the puck, but yeah. Then they had to do the moment of silence for the Orlando killings over the weekend, which was completely understandable. But the Doc Emmerich narration at the first intermission on Gordie was just tremendous.
Well done.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well done.
Yep.
So, you know, very classy. They did it between, and the players all looking up at it. Yeah, it tells you a lot. Yeah. And again, this is another case where with Gordie Howe, it's a lot like Muhammad Ali. If you're, I don't know, if you're 40 years old or younger, you have no idea who we're talking about in terms of like actual watching performance. I mean, those, you know, I mean, the people that were in that piece included Bobby Hull, Bobby Orr. I think they had Ted Lindsay in there too, Alex Delvecchio. Bob in Mifflinburg. Hello, Bob. How are you today? How are you, Bob?
Steve, this is Rob.
If oh, Rob, how are you?
You grew up in Hartford. How come you don't sound like it?
The Boston accent actually ends at Worcester.
Oh, it does?
Yep. If you know, the there's a corridor, Cape Cod, Foxborough. I think it extends to Providence.
Yeah, Worcester,
Worcester, Framingham, up into southern New Hampshire. Anything west of that? No, no, no accent.
I thought maybe you were spoofing this.
No, I'm not. I speak the way I speak. My mother, who grew up in Lexington, which is about maybe 10 miles outside of Boston, there, the Battle of Lexington and Concord.
Yeah,
in the Revolutionary War. In fact, my godmother. Her house is four houses off the Lexington Green where the battle took place.
Wow.
All of them, my cousins all have very thick Boston accents. How are you? How's your mother, your father?
Yeah, they have ideas, right?
Oh, they have ideas. President Kennedy always said Cuber.
Cuber,
Yep, Cuber, all the time. Cuber. So if it's an A, they pronounce it E-R. If it's E-R, they pronounce it A. And yep. you don't have soda and you don't have pop. You have tonic. And you have to pronounce it
tonic.
Right. Tonic.
Tonic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were from Lancaster or something. You sounded a little bit like that area or something. Maybe Harrisburg or something, but...
No. Nope. Hartford area, there's no accent. And on top of it, let's see. If you really want to do a great Boston accent, you know, we're doing a talk show. Hey, I'm calling from Somerville. When's Bobby Orr's birthday?
Somerville. Yeah. Somerville. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I thought I'd open a can of worms or something, maybe.
That's good. I like it, Rob.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
You have a great day. Yeah, I did. I grew up in the Hartford area. I grew up north of Hartford, just south of Springfield. Right on the Massachusetts line, where I grew up was about maybe 6 or 7 miles from the Basketball Hall of Fame. And now I haven't lived there since I was 18. I came out here to Penn State, went to school here. You know, and you're out here 9 months out of the year when you're going to school here. And then I ended up getting a job here and staying here. And much to your chagrin, I'm still here. So 800-795-9565 is the number. It's great to have everybody on board here today. Great to have you on board. We will come back with more in a moment. Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's said that Pittsburgh is a city of neighborhoods, a collection of neighborhoods. And within the city, there has been support for this team from the football team and the baseball team. We have seen members of both, coaches of both, managers attending games this year and as best they can during the playoff run. The Pirates wore Penguins jerseys on their trip out to Denver. The Steelers have been present waving towels with everyone else. It is unified when it comes to getting the glory of victory. They are there to lend support.
Doc Emmerich, by the way, is a big Pittsburgh Pirates fan, just so you know. Loves the Pirates. In fact, has done a couple of games for them on the TV network. Here's an interesting perspective on Draymond Green. There's a lot of little games going on here. Games, you know, Art Briles, are they going to vote on that? And then there's Draymond Green suspended tonight. Here is a perspective from a former NBA referee who says the NBA works indirectly to try and help a team that is trailing in an NBA playoff series. He said that Draymond Green being suspended is to prolong the NBA finals. Now, what former referee said this? Tim Donaghy. Oh, no.
How much coin does he have on the rest of the series? Makes you wonder. Yeah.
But you know what was really interesting about reading about Tim Donaghy? This is years ago. But he's the one that is accused of fixing games. You know what's interesting is that right now, what's a major complaint with the official union, and they're backed up by the players, that the NBA is doing right now? The NBA publishes, pro and con, all the calls made in the final 2 minutes of a game. So when it was alleged that Tim Donaghy, years ago, was influencing games, it wasn't the final 2 minutes. You know how he'd do it? He'd do it in the first quarter and a half. He'd make calls in such a way where you'd fall so far behind, you had no shot of getting back. And it would cause the least amount of suspicion. Interesting, isn't it, Sean? That is allegedly how it happened. And now he's saying they're doing this to prolong the finals? I mean, Green's the one that picked up the all the flagrant points. I mean, that to me, that is... Why would you even use him as a source? I mean, people actually used him as a source. You know, the oddity is that I actually knew his dad, who officiated, his dad officiated many games in Rec Hall, Jerry Donaghy. Tim Donaghy refereed from 94 to 2007. During his career, he officiated 772 regular season games, 20 playoff games. Resigned before reports of an investigation by the FBI for allegations he bet on games that he officiated during his last 2 years and that he made calls that affected the point spreads in those games. He pleaded guilty to two federal charges related to the investigation. However, he still could face more charges at a state level in certain areas. He served 11 months federal prison in Pensacola, Florida. Spent the rest of the time halfway house, but was sent back to prison for violating his release terms. And then was finally released in 2009. The scandal... Murray Weiss reported the FBI was looking into it from the New York Post. And it was alleged that when he made the calls, he did it at the beginning of games. They say he intentionally miscalled two Phoenix Suns road playoff games against the Lakers and against the San Antonio Spurs, among others, obviously. But the story always was that he would do it at the beginning of games. He put you so far out of it, you couldn't get back in it. And nothing at the end of the game, so it doesn't draw suspicion.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.